Regatta Bay Limited v. United States. Mr. Ray.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Paul Ray and I represent Regatta Bay Limited. The two issues in this case are whether Regatta Bay has shown a prima facie case for its claims and whether Regatta Bay should have the opportunity to conduct discovery because of identification of relevant evidence, of items that exist which would be relevant to the issues in the case. The basic facts pertain to a 20-year course of performance on a HUD loan, which was issued in 1979, and the three key documents are a regulatory agreement, a note, and a deed of trust. And under the 20 years, Regatta made working capital loans pursuant to its limited partnership agreement, which HUD approved from the outset of the transaction.
Getting down to kind of the triggering event, you were 60 days late, which had never happened before, right? And isn't that, I understand there's a lot of evidence here, but isn't that triggering event sufficient to justify the acceleration?
No, Your Honor, it's not, because several reasons. One thing, the triggering event should have been the default, according to HUD, was the default on the July payment, which was not 60 days late. It was within the grace period, even under the note.
But the acceleration was based on the late June payment, right?
The acceleration, depending on when you're talking about, because HUD's identified more than one as acceleration.
The June 26th notice accelerating to Regatta.
It does not mention the June note.
No, but it's based on the June note, isn't it? Because the July payment was not then beyond the grace period. It was based on the lateness of the June payment.
It doesn't say that.
Well, but that it doesn't say it explicitly. But isn't that the evidence that that's what it was? It says you're in default. You're late.
It said a continuing material breach. At that time, the only indication of any default up to that time was this $1.4 million demand.
No, but the June payment, as Judge Rader asked you, the June payment was 60 days late at that point, right?
I don't think it was 60 days, but it was more than 30, so I assume that's probably
Almost 60 days, right?
It was late, but that's also, you have to notice, that's not the basis of this foreclosure, because the notice of default said it was based on the July 1st payment being late.
Well, the foreclosure was based on the fact that you hadn't made the payment that would be required by the acceleration. Isn't that correct? The foreclosure sale was based on the fact that you didn't make the payment, the full payment that would be required by the acceleration, right?
It didn't say. That's one of the problems we have. And that's why there's issues of fact and why we're entitled to conduct, we believe we're entitled to ask this court to uphold our claim for entitlement to conduct discovery, because we never got to see the claim files. Why HUD made these highly peculiar demands for $1.4 million, which we know were based on expired claims under the limitations period. And as I was going to say, the basic facts are that for 20 years, Regatta followed this course of performance within the approved language of the limited partnership agreement, the working capital loans, and we know that there was a Inspector General's audit in 1993 where HUD basically allowed this practice, which was allowed by the specifically authorized documents and the course of performance for 13 years up to that time, and yet HUD came back and demanded after the fact, $1.1 million within 30 days, that's what broke this project. There's no equity. HUD had also, by its own admission of Mr. Ewing, David Ewing, said that their intention was to take this property back. The June payment was not the basis of the foreclosure, and the letter that notified Regatta of an acceleration didn't say what the basis was. That's another reason we need discovery, because, as Your Honor points out, that's one reading of it, but that's what the government has argued, but there's other readings of it also. In fact, it doesn't answer the question. That's really why we think we need discovery, why we should be allowed to put our claims on. Because it's true, if one carefully threads through a possible explanation of all these documents and draws these inferences favorably to HUD, they can state some arguments that they have stated, but we've also stated prima facie arguments, and we believe that the court in the setting below should draw the inferences, all the reasonable inferences, in favor of Regatta, so we have an opportunity to present that at trial.
But if the June payment's late, the deed of trust says acceptance of a late payment is not a waiver, and there's been several notices sent out saying you're late, you have a right to accelerate. Don't they have a right to accelerate based on the lateness of the June payment?
That's the other point also. Thank you. They don't, actually. This trust deed does not allow it, as I believe it's common in California as well, in Nevada. The trust deeds require a notice and an opportunity to cure. And that's, I'm sure you saw in the briefs, one of the problems with the way this acceleration was purported to be performed and why we need discovery. You can't tell why they did it, but they, for whatever reason, didn't allow an opportunity to cure. They always had for the past 20 years.
But they allowed an opportunity to cure after the acceleration by allowing you to make the payment, the accelerated payment, right?
No, in Nevada law, it has to be the late payment, not the accelerated payment.
Well, Nevada law doesn't govern here. This is a federal contract.
No.
It's a statute.
They're talking about, I'm sorry, respectfully.
But put aside the question of Nevada law. When the after the acceleration, Regatta had the opportunity to avoid the foreclosure by making the full payment that resulted from the acceleration, correct?
Actually, there should have been no requirement to make
the full payment. No, that's not the question. Forget about whether there was a requirement or not. They were given the opportunity to avoid the foreclosure by making the full payment resulting from the acceleration.
They never were. At all times, HUD always said it's fully accelerated.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm saying they had the opportunity to avoid foreclosure by making the full payment, right?
If that were possible, but that wasn't a requirement under the trustee or under the statute that it applies either. Because there's an opportunity to cure, even under the Multi-Mortgage Family Foreclosure Act, there's an opportunity to cure just the one payment that's late, or however many payments are late. And when that one payment was tendered, it was rejected. That's another issue of fact that we need discovery. We believe, as I've said, there's some very meritless, unreasonable demands that were made here, and we believe we should be able to commit discovery and find out why.
I'm looking at a letter that's on page 559 of the appendix. That says that the acceleration notice is based very clearly on the delinquent and owing amount from June 1st and July 1st. Well, the June one being, of course, the most delinquent at the time. Why isn't, I'm confused as to why you say that the June 1st wasn't the basis for the acceleration.
Well, it's very important that you have to realize, Your Honor, this document was not provided to Regatta Bay. This is an internal document.
No, certainly, I understand that, but it's very clear that that's the basis for their acceleration notice.
But the opportunity to cure has not been provided. And you have to realize, at this time, federal law is not governing that foreclosure or that acceleration, because HUD was not holding the loan at that time. That was held privately. So federal law is not going to govern that deed of trust. It was a Nevada deed of trust, and it can't be accelerated in Nevada without following the Nevada statute and the express language of the trustee, which even federal law requires. The express language of the trustee has to be followed.
When under Nevada law does the right to cure by making all past payments that are due expire and the accelerated amount is due? In other words, in California, you get a notice of default. You have a certain amount of period to bring all your late payments current. And then if you don't do it within a particular time, you have to pay the full accelerated amount if you want to avoid foreclosure. When is your, in your view, under Nevada law, does it change from an obligation to avoid foreclosure? Does it change from an obligation to make all past payments to an obligation to pay the accelerated, full accelerated amount?
It's 35 days under the statute that's in RS 107.080, unless it's 0.070, I apologize. It's one of those two. And it's the one we quoted. And under the trust deed, it's kind of peculiar. It looks like it's an old form because you can see old under the statute. Before 1957, it was 15 days. And this trust deed says 15 days. So it could be said that the trust deed provided for 15 days, but under the MAP statute, it was 35 days.
But they didn't bring it current within those 35 days.
Yes, they did. They made the payment on July 28th, and that was the payment that was rejected. And that was the indication that they weren't going to, they were requiring acceleration. And that's what was so highly peculiar, because there was no grounds in the trust deed for the acceleration. And it's consistent also with the highly peculiar demand for the $1.4 million, which destroyed the equity. If I may say one thing for...
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Mr. Chandler.
May it please the Court. Regatta spun out a number of arguments in their briefing here today, but I think the Court has hit on exactly the salient issue in this case, and that is the fact that once Regatta failed to make its June 1st payment by July 1st, there was a default under the deed of trust note and the deed of trust, and that was sufficient to allow HUD and Riley to do everything they did under each of those agreements.
What about Nevada law?
Nevada law just isn't relevant, because what they've alleged is a breach of the agreements. They've alleged that the United States is responsible for Riley's breach of the deed of trust and the deed of trust note. And so even if Nevada law requires a different notice period or requires notice at all, it's simply not relevant, because there still was no breach of the agreements. And there is nothing about Nevada law that would have affected HUD's ability to foreclose on the subject property. As of July 2nd, the time there was a default under the agreements, HUD's obligation to pay under the insurance policy, to pay out on its insurance policy and to assume the note was in effect as of July 2nd. So when it did that later that month, it was within its rights to do that. In fact, it had an obligation to do that at the election of Riley. And then at that point, HUD was within its rights to accelerate and foreclose under the multifamily mortgage foreclosure act.
Give me a timeline from the notice of default to the time the notice of default would expire under Nevada law, or the time to cure under Nevada law would expire, and when HUD took over.
Well, under Nevada law, it's not entirely clear because there is a 35-day period, but it's not entirely clear when that period is triggered, whether it's from the time of the default or from the time of the payment was initially due.
Okay. Then when and with respect to that notice did HUD take over?
I'm sorry, with respect to which notice?
The time that the default occurred under Nevada law, from that period till the time that HUD...
Well, Nevada law doesn't define the default. The agreements define the default. Nevada law just sets out notice requirements as a consequence
from,
of default.
From the Nevada notice to the time that HUD became involved, what was that period?
Well, I don't know that there was a Nevada notice. HUD simply assumed the mortgage and then proceeded under the Multifamily Mortgage Foreclosure Act from that point forward and met all the MMFA requirements.
So Nevada law, in your view, is totally irrelevant.
That's right, because everything here, what Regatta has alleged is a breach of the agreements, not the United States.
But Riley was the note holder at the time and governed by Nevada law, wasn't it?
But even if Riley failed to comply with Nevada law, HUD was still obligated to pay out under the insurance policy and had every right to assume the note and later accelerate and foreclose as it did. HUD sent an acceleration notice on May 22nd of 2001 and then foreclosed from that point, well, from the time it assumed the note in October of 2000, complied with the Multifamily Mortgage Foreclosure Act. So even if Riley's failure to have given notice under Nevada law was not compliant with Nevada law, it still wasn't a breach of the agreements, because the agreements don't require that. In fact, the agreements allow for immediate acceleration without notice to the borrower. There is no notice requirement under the deed of trust note or the deed of trust. So regardless of whether Riley complied with Nevada law, it still wasn't a breach of the agreements, which is what Regatta is alleging here and what they alleged in the Court of Federal Claims. The only defenses that Regatta has asserted with respect to the default generally is just that there's this course of dealing. And clearly, there just wasn't a course of dealing between Riley and Regatta that would have excused both the default and would have written the anti-waiver provision out of the agreement. First, obviously, there's the anti-waiver provision, which says that any failure or any decision by Riley not to enforce the default provision in any circumstance is not a waiver of that default provision going forward.
Are you talking about provision of the deed of trust or some other agreement?
That's in the note.
Yeah, okay. No. All right.
And even if Regatta had missed a payment previously, there's some unclarity in the record about whether the May 2000 payment had been missed. But even if it had, it's simply not enough to establish a course of dealing between Riley and Regatta that would write out the anti-waiver provision and the default provision. And throughout the party's relationship, even when Regatta had missed payments within the cure period, they had always sent a letter, Riley had always sent a letter to Regatta reminding them of their obligation to make timely payments, assessing the late penalty, and telling them that if they didn't pay within 30 days, that notice would be given to HUD and they'd be deemed to have defaulted under the deed of trust and the note.
But as I understand your argument, it really doesn't matter what went on between Riley and Regatta. That HUD could do what it did if there was a default. Am I wrong? As to your argument?
Well, no, there has to be a default first.
Right. And
clearly, as of July 2nd, 2000, there was a default.
Right.
But once that happened,
what I'm saying, as of that time, in your view, does it, the July 2nd, I think you said?
That's right.
As of July 2nd, in your view, does it make any difference whatsoever about what Riley and Regatta said to one another?
It really doesn't, no, because HUD had the obligation to pay out under its insurance agreement with Riley based solely upon the default of the note.
So if Riley said, okay, late payments are okay, in the past, that wouldn't make any difference.
I believe that's right, because the way the agreements operate, or at least wouldn't be a breach of the agreement, there wouldn't be a breach of the agreement, because the way the agreements operate is that once there's a default, there's no going back. There's no cure provided for in any of the documents that allow for the cure of a mature default. And certainly, I mean, Regatta has not alleged that there were any communications after July 2nd that would have operated as a waiver of any provision or a cure of the default. And then certainly, HUD was well within its rights to foreclose on the note. HUD took possession or took assumed the deed of trust on the note as of October 6, 2000. It sent a notice of foreclosure in May of 2001 in which it again stated that full payment of the principal amount on the note was due, and began foreclosure proceedings in October of 2001, which it fully complied with the Multifamily Mortgage Foreclosure Act. At that point, when HUD began to foreclose in October of 2001, Regatta had missed 16 payments, and there's absolutely nothing in the record that would excuse Regatta from having made its payments from July. The last payment made was in July for the June payment. So HUD was clearly entitled to foreclose at the point when it did. Regatta has argued instead that Riley was required to meet both the Multifamily Mortgage Foreclosure Act and the requirements set out in the deed of trust itself in order to accelerate, but they simply don't read that way. The way the deed of trust reads is that upon an event of default, the holder is entitled to immediate acceleration without notice to the borrower, and there is no requirement that that the lender meet particular waiting periods or cure periods or notice or anything of that sort. That's really all, those are all the points that I wanted to touch on. So subject to further questions by the court, the government's content to stand on its briefs.
Do you understand that the question under the Nevada statute is whether the alleged violation of the Nevada statute is the failure to provide notice before the acceleration? Is that what we're talking about?
That's what we've got as alleged. That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chandler.
Thank you.
Mr. Ray, you have 4.5 minutes.
Thank you. Just to
clarify that last point, that is your allegation under the Nevada statute, is that the Nevada statute required notice before the acceleration, and that wasn't provided.
That's correct, and that's quoted on page 20 and 21 of our brief. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the most important areas that we disagree on, as Nevada law does most absolutely certainly require that notice to be provided before, and it specifically says acceleration must not occur. If the and then it goes on to say the deficiency has to be explained. Deficiency in performance is made, performance of payment is made good.
Does the Nevada statute tell you what happens if notice is not provided?
Yes, you can't foreclose.
So it's directed to the foreclosure action.
Well, you can't accelerate. It says, but acceleration must not occur. And I underline that on page 21.
No, but what is the remedy under the Nevada statute?
Well, you would have a remedy under the note. In this case, it's a non-recourse note. So in this situation, it would be worthless without complying with the Nevada statute. And so it's mandatory that they have to be able to get the remedy they're looking for. That's why it is a very important point, and I understand maybe whoever at HUD was looking at this in some other jurisdiction wasn't familiar, but I don't think it's that uncommon. But anyway, I don't know the other jurisdictions, but I know that Nevada requires the notice before there can be an acceleration. I believe California is the same, if I'm not mistaken.
You said it. If they didn't give notice, it would be a non-recourse note? Is that what you said?
Well, it is a non-recourse note. I'm sorry. Okay. When I say non-recourse, what I mean is against the individual. They can only go against the property.
Yeah, but in this case, the property yielded more than was owed, so there was an excess that went to Regatta, right?
Well, there was a forced sale, so there right. was, yes, there was a little bit of excess, but it was not at the fair market value.
If we are only dealing with a family, Multifamily Housing Mortgage Act, I may have reversed a couple of words in that, but was there a failure to comply?
By whom? By Regatta?
Yeah. No, by HUD.
Yes, because under the Multifamily Mortgage Foreclosure Act, you can't commence a foreclosure until there's a default of the deed of trust.
And that default is defined how?
Well, you can't have an acceleration, for example, until you meet the conditions for acceleration, which require the notice.
Under Nevada law.
Right, but under the trust deeds, that specific terms also, it says that.
But the trust deed's not directed to the notice that you have to give before the acceleration.
Yes, it is. Okay, that's another point. I'm glad you brought that up. That's something also that's a misunderstanding by HUD. It does specifically say that, and I've underlined that on page 19 of the, I'm talking about the opening brief, and I think I'm referring to the reply brief. It does say that the power of sale is after the lapse of 15 days during which the grantor shall have failed to make good such default.
Where does the trust deed require notice before the acceleration?
Well, it's the same paragraph. It says they can, at the option of the beneficiary, they can be accelerated, and thereupon there shall have the power of sale after the notice is provided.
Talking about a notice of the sale, not notice before acceleration.
No, it's not the notice of the sale, it's the notice of default. It says 15 days during which the grantor shall have failed to make good such default. That's the language of the trustee. That's the way they work in Nevada. And
So just to make sure I understand, you're saying to do this correctly, there needs to be a notice of default under Nevada law, either a 15 or a 30-day period, depending on whether you go by the deed of trust or the Nevada statute, to cure in the sense of making all your past payments. And if you don't do that, then there can be an acceleration after that. Am I understanding you correctly?
If you don't, no, you just have to allow right to cure, as had been done for 20 years.
No, but just follow me for a minute. So the correct procedure, in your view, would be notice of default under Nevada law, a right to cure under Nevada law, which is either a 15 or a 30-day period. Then if there was no curing during that period, then there would be an acceleration and a right to sell?
Typically the way it's done in those notices of default, they say that it will be accelerated if you don't meet that obligation. But the fact is, and the deed of trust also, the fact is you do get the opportunity to cure, and then if that time is run, then yes, it is accelerated. Your only way at that point you can make up for it is to pay the accelerated amount.
So my timetable is right. Notice of default plus right to cure under Nevada law, and then if you don't cure, and by cure I mean you should make the past payments that are due with no acceleration. If you don't make the payment within that time, then there can be an acceleration, and then you either the property gets sold or you pay everything that's due.
That's true, except the one thing, I don't think you have to do a note. You may not have said this either, but I don't think there has to be a new notice of acceleration. There's just, I believe you did say the acceleration is effective, as the statute said, must not occur until. And so because we were not afforded the opportunity to even get the files, we can't even see why we can see because it was unreasonable. But HUD required the claim to be submitted without even verifying the compliance with the trust deed or the regulatory agreement. And the unreasonableness of these demands, and the return of the cure payment. The cure payment was made. It was July, not June, unlike what the government has stated.
Are there any cases that hold that state law governs the notice requirements under these circumstances as opposed to federal law?
No. Are you talking about under the Multifamily Mortgage Foreclosure Act?
Well, this HUD program under that act. Is there any case that holds that state law governs the notice requirements?
No, the only authority I'm citing on that, I think if I understand your question right, is I think it's Section 3705 that said that there can only be a foreclosure if there is a default of the deed of trust. I believe they call it a mortgage, but it's the same difference. And so if it isn't a default, then the Multifamily Mortgage Foreclosure Act provisions for foreclosure are not triggered.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Our last